else that's supposed to come up. I apologize. I didn't know what the itinerary was. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. I thoroughly enjoyed the testimony, and it was a blessing to me, and some of the things that he said will go right along with things the Lord has placed upon my heart this day. And I don't want to get too far ahead or into my message, but too much of the time, we as Christians are guilty of feeling sorry for ourselves. And that was a blessing to hear that. Life can be very difficult. You know, I know some of you better than others, and we've all had our share of struggles over the years and gone through different trials. But if we can remember half of what he said, how blessed that we are. And I was thinking about that this week, going through some trials on my own the last couple weeks. I'm still blessed, and there's nobody that can take that away from me. Satan can't take that away from me. Amen. There's people that like to take it away from me, but they can't. God's given us that. Remember that. That was truly a blessing. Deuteronomy chapter 8. I have preached out of this passage of Scripture before many times. This passage of Scripture was one, as the Lord first saved my soul, that as I was reading through the Bible, came to this chapter, and it really, the Lord really impressed upon me some things in this chapter. And then in preparing for teaching today and preaching, I want us to consider the word remember. The word remember. Remember means to call to mind by an act or effort of memory, to think of again, and to remain aware of. Many things that our brother just shared with us are things that we, and again, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but we need to be aware of every single day of our life. We need to remember. And we can always say, well, I don't forget spiritual things, but you know what? We all do, because we have a flesh. We can all come to church and act like that we're always happy and we always got everything in our spiritual house in order, but guess what? We're not deceiving anybody because we have a flesh. So this morning, by the grace of God, and this evening, if the Lord doesn't change me, I want to look at many things that on a daily basis we need to remember, that we need to be aware of. Let's read this entire chapter. He says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his statutes or no. You know, excuse me, many of the trials, and again, we all have them, they may be different, and they may come at different times in our life, but we can all look back, every single one of us here, saved or lost, you can look back, and you can say the trials and see the difficulties of life that you have been through, and we're going to have more. Thank God for his grace. But he tells them, he says, remember as you were in the wilderness. And he says, and he numbered thee, or and he humbled thee, I'm sorry, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doeth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doeth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him, and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, and whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. This, as we read through here and continue to read, it may not seem very significant to us, but the children of Israel have been through very lean times. They have been through very rough times, and they were about to be extremely blessed of the Lord. And he gives them a warning, and I believe this warning is not just to them, but it's to us. Anytime God blesses us, we have a tendency in this flesh to forget God. We have a tendency to forget the things of God. We can come to church, and I like what Brother Charlie said, we can come to church and not worship. If we're honest with ourselves, when's the last time that we've come into the house of God out of routine and just showed up and sit on the pew? That is not worship. There must be some effort into it. There must be some concentration into it. And it must be true worship. Prosperity and ease of life, which is something that we all desire, but when that comes, it also is a tendency for us to sit back on our laurels and not worship the Lord as we should. And he gives them this warning. He says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, and not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. You know, many people today of this world talk of how they love the Lord. You can hear it at work. You can hear it at school. You can hear it out when we're doing our business. Out of one side of their mouth, they talk of how they love the Lord. And I'm not saying that there aren't those out there outside the Lord's church that love the Lord. I know there is. There's some, be honest with you, that have been extreme blessing to me that have never been taught church truth. I'll just be honest with you. I can recall an ER doctor that I was going through a difficult time in my life, and I went to him, and we went in the chapel, and he opened up his Bible. And he got down and he said, let's pray. He was a blessing to me. But I say this, there's many out there today that name the name of God, name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but their life isn't anywhere close to God's Word. How do we know if what we're saying about ourselves is true? How do we know what others say about their faith in Christ is true? The Word of God. It's not an optional thing that we can use if we want to. It's the truth of God's Word. And he says, beware, lest we forget. And I'm going to skip down through here because I want to get through this. He talks about, skip down to verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Oh, I got this and I got that. And I like what our brother said. Again, where did that come from? It came from God. Well, I don't have very much. Maybe I don't have very much, but what much or little I do have, it came from God. I've recently dealt with a man that's been very difficult, and repeatedly he has told me how well he has done for himself. And how he got and made some good choices in the stock market and just done very, very, very well for himself. But I tell you what, he also told me, when I get to the judgment, you might want to get a Snickers and get behind me because it's going to be a while. Total absent of God. Curses God. Christians are hypocrites. We need to understand that what little or much we do have, it comes from God. And there's an arrogance out there today in this world too, when maybe God brings us up, just like He did the children of Israel. Maybe we weren't raised in a house of privilege. Maybe we were raised extremely poor, and we do very well for ourselves in this world. We need to be very careful that when we get to that point of elevation, that we don't look back and say, look what I have done. I got up early every morning at 5 o'clock. Yes, we've done those things. But who gave us those opportunities? And who gave us that strength to get to that place? We didn't get it on our own. It was God. And he mentions this. This isn't just something I'm making up here. Notice, he says, don't forget to remember, in verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord my God. For it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do it all, forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. And he goes on, and I skipped some of the reading, but he clearly lays it out here that God is the one that gives us power to get wealth. Let's put wealth aside for a minute. Let's think of health. Health is something that's extremely precious to us as well. Health is extremely precious. And when we go through times where we have poor health, and I can remember this church being tested and tried years ago with Brother Brad Eaton, and many people all over the fellowship was praying for him and how the Lord blessed. And that was a blessing. And then we also have this terrible, dreadful disease called cancer. And health is precious. Wealth is precious, but health is precious too. But when God restores our health and God gives us the things that we need, we have to beware that we remember God and the things of God. This morning, in the next 15 or 20 minutes, quickly, I'm going to hurriedly move through four or five things that every single day of our life, those of us that are saved need to remember about God. Remember to recall to mind. By an act or effort of memory, to think again. We need to constantly be reminded of this. First thing I would tell you, just generally, every day of our life we need to remember God. The Lord said that the children of Israel had gone days without number forgetting God. Well, they were horrible. Well, have you and I ever gone days without number forgetting God? Have we, if we're honest with ourselves? What do we need to remember about God? Well, the world in which we live truly is hostile to the Lord, to who God truly is. They don't understand, and they don't like who that God is. They have their versions of God, and I'm talking about good, moral people that sit in pews this morning. They'll have their versions of who they think God is, but who is God? Well, first of all, God is, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is the creator. He is the sustainer of all things in this life. God is in control of everything. We call that the sovereignty of God. People that say they love the Lord and say they believe His word, they hate that doctrine. But it's in the Word of God. Do I understand everything about it? No, I don't understand everything about it, but do I believe it? 100%. God is in 100% control. And we need to remember that every day of our life. What else about God do we need to remember? The Lord placed this thought a lot as of late, but God is particular. God is particular. Well, God doesn't care about this or that, just as long as I give my best. That's not what this says. I can remember my dad, one of the many things I can recall him preaching, but he would drive this home to me into our church. Sincerity is no substitute for the truth. they're sincere. That's good. They're going the right way. But sincerity doesn't cancel out truth. God is particular. In fact, God is so particular, he says, okay, if you're going to worship me, he doesn't say you should. He doesn't say it'd be nice if you would. He says you must worship me in spirit and in truth. God owns all. God controls all. God is particular. God is a judge. And he's with us. And he's watching us every day of our life. And we could go on and on. Second of all, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Think in your mind. Can you go back to a time when maybe someone has touched your life in such a way, some person upon this earth? Maybe it wasn't a family. Usually if it's not family or if it's not a friend, maybe it's just an acquaintance. You always remember that. You think, they always have a special place in my heart. Think about that. Well, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, even though he lives within our heart, many times he doesn't have that special place within our heart that he should have. If we're saved by the grace of God, he did something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. He did something for us that we didn't deserve. Any person who thinks they deserve to be saved by their works has a real problem. I didn't deserve to be saved. You know what? I've been saved since 1994. And even though I've been saved for 20 years, I still don't deserve to be saved. Because I fail the Lord every single day of my life. And if you're honest, you'd have to say you do too. But we need to remember this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11... and verse 20. You guys are going to have to pray for me. I've got a contact going weak on one side. I'm in 2 Corinthians. So if I misread something, you'll just have to forgive me. But 1 Corinthians 11, 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Why do we do that? Why? What is one main reason that we observe the Lord's Supper? To bring us back to remembrance for what the Lord did for us. And it is so easy. Is it so easy to take for granted what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us? Well, what did he do for us? He gave up everything. He came to this earth. And in our minds, we think, well, that's not so bad. Look where Jesus was. He came to this wicked, sinful earth, and he gave up everything. And you know what? I really believe, as I've gone through life, you begin to appreciate that more and more when you begin to lose things. When you begin to lose things, maybe you begin to lose material possessions. Maybe you begin to lose family through one form or another. You begin to have a little bit of an understanding of what Jesus Christ, when he says he gave his life, he gave up everything. And we need to think about that. We need to remember that. We need to be aware of that every single day. Third of all, we need to remember that the Spirit of the Lord dwells within us. If we're saved, the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, lives within inside of us. And I know doctrinally we're sound in that, and we could get up and we could give a statement of faith, but really think about that. Think about when we go to work. Think about when we go do whatever it is that we do for our hobbies and our pleasures. When we're at home with our family. Wherever we go, and however we fail God, the Spirit of God is right there within us. It never leaves. And the Bible tells us that if any have not the Spirit of God, that he is none of his. Every saved person has the Spirit of God, and there's not one single lost person that has the Spirit of God within them. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We need to remember who God is. God isn't some weak, need person that needs. God needs nothing from us. God, there isn't one thing I have that God needs. But praise God, He accepts things that I offer when I do it His way. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Temple, simply put, a dwelling place. This church is a dwelling place. It's a dwelling place for God's people to come together in the body of Christ and to meet with the Lord. It's a sacred place. It's a special place because of what happens here. And our bodies also are a dwelling place for the Spirit of God to dwell. And you know what? When we fail, we may say things we shouldn't say. We may think things we shouldn't think. We may see things we shouldn't see. The Spirit of God remains within inside of us. Now, we can grieve the Spirit of God, but He never leaves. But we need to be mindful of that so that we understand and remember every day when we get up and we're having a horrible day and it seems like everything's going wrong. God hasn't forsaken us. The Spirit of God is still there with us. And you know what? I can't remember if it was Brother Eaton or Brother Charlie this morning that mentioned about all that God has brought us through and how He's protected us. But God knows exactly what we need every single day of our life. He's not going to give us grace for tomorrow today. He'll give us grace for tomorrow. And we need to remember that the Spirit of God is with us. And you know, one very important thing that the Spirit of God does is He teaches us. And I can remember again my dad teaching and preaching that the Spirit of God and the Word of God go together. The Spirit of God never leads opposite or contrary from the Word of God, and vice versa. People say, the Lord led me to do this. Or if I say, well, I just feel the Lord led me to do this. Well, is it in the Bible? Because if the Bible says one thing, that's the flesh. That's my flesh saying the Lord told me to do this. It's not the Spirit of God. Fifth of all, in closing, what's something else? Well, we need to remember God, and especially in the times that we live. They're perilous times. And it seems like, really, the world spinning out of control. God is in control. There isn't one thing that goes on today, as awful as things can be, there isn't one thing that goes on that God is not allowing. God is in 100% control. We need to remember every single day that the Lord gave His all for us if we're saved. We need to remember that the Spirit is within us. Last of all, we need to remember God's Word. Turn with me to Psalms 119. Psalms 119, verse 11. Let me ask you a question while you're turning there. If the question was posed, and I mean he was going to give an honest answer, not just something pie in the sky, but an honest answer, what's your favorite scripture and why? Could we answer that? Or will we give a very general blank answer? Well, John 3:16 is great. What's four scriptures everybody loves? John 3:16, Matthew 7:1, Romans 8:28. World loves all those scriptures, but they don't understand them in their context. Romans 7:1 says, well, I can do what I want, and you better not judge me, because after all, Jesus says, judge not that you be not judged. It doesn't teach that at all. Now, I shouldn't and you shouldn't have a critical spirit walking around everybody's life and dissecting everything that they do. But on the other hand, it also doesn't teach that I can say I'm a Christian, live like the devil himself, and then dare people to condemn me about it. Bible doesn't teach that.
Right.
But we need to memorize God's Word. We need to remember God's Word. Every morning when we get up, we may not have half an hour that we spend in God's Word. I don't. I'll be honest with you. Some of you, I'm sure, spend more than that. But we better start our day with depending upon the Lord and getting a portion of Scripture, because we need God's Word every single day. Psalms 119, verse 11. Psalms 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. We need to have God's word within our heart, because I tell you what, we're getting fed other stuff all the time from this world. Things you go to work and you hear out in society and you hear. We need to hide God's word in our heart. In closing, I want to look at a few scriptures in Proverbs, and I'll be done. Remember God's word every day. Notice the importance of remembering. My son, in Proverbs 2:1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, there's benefits to that. It's a blessing to me to see young people grow up in church and stay in church. That is a blessing. And people say, well, they got to get out in the world and they got to go to other churches and experience. No, they don't. The truth is in the Lord's church. Yeah, but it's so dry and it's so dead. You know, back at Faith, we have a group, many of you know, we have especially a young group of ladies that have walked the test of time to be faithful to the Lord. Raised in that church, we have men, women that grew up in that church, and they have remained faithful to the Lord. And one reason why, of course God put them there and placed them there, but they hid the Word of God within their hearts because their parents taught them the importance of God's Word. Now, what's the other side of the equation? I know there's some of you here. And the same is true. I don't know what my future holds for my kids. But we teach them. And we try to teach them the importance of God's Word. And sometimes they don't stay. Sometimes they do go. But we need to teach our kids the importance, and even ourselves, the importance of hiding God's Word within our heart. Proverbs 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Proverbs 4. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. Here's a bad word. For I give you good doctrine. Oh, that's horrible. You guys have doctrine at your church. Yeah, because Jesus taught doctrine. Jesus thought doctrine was pretty important because he placed it in his word. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. Proverbs 6:20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Moms have an important, important, important role in bringing their kids up in the things of God. Many things my dad taught me, but I look and there's many things my mom taught me. My mom taught me the fear of God. I mean, my dad didn't teach me the fear of God. He did, but not like my mom did. Something would happen, and she'd say, see, you disobeyed me, and look what happened. Moms have just as important role as dads do when it comes instilling the Word of God in their kids. We need to remember every single day God's Word, that His Spirit is within us, that the Lord gave everything He had to save our unworthy soul, and we need to remember who that God is. May God bless His word. Thank you.